The men following her don't glance back, either. Even if they were to spot me, which I do not allow to happen, they would see nothing to be afraid of. No one ever does. A block ahead, the girl turns right, vanishing through a doorway. I retreat into the shadows and watch what happens next. The two men pause outside the building that the girl has entered, conferring over strategy. Then they, too, step inside. From the sidewalk, I look up at the boarded over windows. It is a vacant warehouse posted with a no trespassing notice. The door hangs ajar. I slip inside, into gloom so thick that I pause to let my eyes adjust as I rely on my other senses to take in what I cannot yet see. I hear the floor creaking. I smell burning candle wax. I see the faint glow of the doorway to my left. Pausing outside it, I peer into the room beyond. The girl kneels before a makeshift table, her face lit by one flickering candle. Around her are signs of temporary habitation, a sleeping bag, tins of food, and a small camp stove. She is struggling with a bulky can opener and is unaware of the two men closing in from behind. Just as I draw in a breath to shout a warning, the girl whirls around to face the trespassers. All she has in her hand is the can opener, a meager weapon against two larger men. "This is my home," she says. "Get out." I had been prepared to intervene. Instead, I pause where I am to watch what happens next, to see what the girl is made of. One of the men laughs. "We're just visiting, honey."
"Did I invite you?"
"You look like you could use the company."
"You look like you could use a brain."
Not a wise way to handle the situation, I think. Now their lust is mingled with anger, a dangerous combination. Yet the girl stands perfectly still, perfectly calm, brandishing that pitiful kitchen utensil. As the men lunge, I am already on the balls of my feet, ready to spring. She springs first. One leap and her foot thuds straight into the first man's sternum. It's an inelegant but effective blow, and he staggers, gripping his chest as if he cannot breathe. Before the second man can react, she is already spinning toward him, and she slams the can opener against the side of his head. He howls and backs away. This has gotten interesting. The first man has recovered and rushes at her, slamming her so hard that they both go sprawling onto the floor. She kicks and punches, and her fist cracks into his jaw. But fury has inured him to pain, and with a roar he rolls on top of her, immobilizing her with his weight. Now the second man jumps back in, grabbing her wrists. He pins them against the floor. Youth and inexperience have landed her in a calamity that she cannot possibly escape. As fierce as she is, the girl is green and untrained, and the inevitable is about to happen. The first man has unzipped her jeans and he yanks them down past her skinny hips. His arousal is evident, his trousers bulging. Never is a man more vulnerable to attack. He doesn't hear me coming. One moment he's unzipping his fly, the next he's on the floor, his jaw shattered, loose teeth spilling from his mouth. The second man barely has time to release the girl's hands and jump up, but he's not quick enough. I am a tiger, and he is nothing more than a lumbering buffalo, stupid and helpless against my strike. With a shriek, he drops to the ground, and judging by the grotesque angle of his arm, his bone has been snapped in two. I grab the girl and yank her to her feet. "Are you unhurt?" She zips up her jeans and stares at me. "Who the hell are you?" "That's for later. Now we go," I bark.
"How did you do that? How did you bring them down so fast?"
"Do you want to learn?"
"Yes."
I look at the two men groaning and writhing at our feet. "Then here is the first lesson. Know when to run." I shove her toward the door. "That time would be now." I watch her eat. For a small girl, she has the appetite of a wolf, and she devours three chicken tacos, a lake of refried beans, and a large glass of Coca-Cola. Mexican food was what she wanted, so we sit in a cafe where mariachi music plays, and the walls are adorned with gaudy paintings.